Welcome to the deep dive.
Oh.
Okay, so today we're jumping right into something, well, something that might be more critical than any tech advantage, really.
Yeah.
It's about how people hold each other accountable.
Yes.
We're in this age, right, of constant change, tech blowing things up, everything's more complex.
Definitely.
And the research we looked at, well, it suggests an organization's ability to adapt. It really doesn't hinge just on one brilliant leader up top.
No, not at all. It's much more about the collective strength, the whole team.
Collective strength.
That's it. Exactly. Yeah. That collective strength. And the way you unlock that, it's what we're calling peer-to-peer accountability.
P2P. B2B.
Yeah. You know, where colleagues are accountable to each other horizontally, not just vertically, like up to the boss.
Okay.
And our deep dive suggests this P2P dynamic. It's maybe a CEO's biggest, most powerful lever.
Yeah.
And maybe the most cost-effective one, too, for driving real culture change.
And psychological safety.
High performance.
All of it. It seems to be the secret ingredient, potentially. Okay, let's unpack this then. Because P2P accountability, it can sound a bit like jargon.
It can, yeah.
Our mission today is to get past that. Get into the nuts and bolts, the psychology of it. How do organizations actually make this shift, you know, from just demanding results to building genuine shared ownership?
Right. And I think to really get it, we need to contrast it with what we usually see, the traditional way. Exactly.
Yeah, we all know that. Accountability flows down, right?
Yep.
The board keeps the CEO in check. The manager holds their direct reports accountable.
It's hierarchical. Pretty clear. Often feels transactional, too.
But the sources say that in these, like, really high-performing organizations, accountability doesn't just fall downwards.
No, it circulates. That's
yeah,
the word they use.
It circulates.
Yeah. Team members feel responsible, not just to their manager, but really, truly responsible to each other and to the shared goal.
That feels different.
It is different. Mm. And what's really fascinating is the cultural change that comes with it.
Okay.
You actually shift the whole organization from a culture of, let's say, compliance.
Doing what you're told.
Pretty much. Doing it because you have to, maybe fear of getting in trouble. You shift from that to a culture of real commitment.
Commitment, buy-in.
Genuine buy-in.
Uh-huh.
And the whole conversation changes. It stops being about, did you tick off your individual task list?
Right.
And becomes more like, okay, what did we achieve together?
Yeah.
And importantly, where did we as a team maybe miss the mark?
That difference, compliance versus commitment, that feels huge strategically.
It is huge.
So why is this circulating accountability? Why is it like a strategic must-have right now?
Well, just look at the environment we're all operating in. Complexity. Through the roof.
Uh-huh.
Decision cycles are getting shorter and shorter.
Yeah.
Leaders, they just can't be the single point of failure or the single point of accountability for everything anymore.
The bottleneck.
Exactly. They can't be the bottleneck. They need teams that can basically manage themselves to a large extent. Teams that can self-regulate, spot problems, course correct on their own.
And self-motivate.
And self-motivate, yes. All in real time. If everything has to go up to the leader for approval or correction, you're always going to be lagging behind.
Okay, that makes the strategic need crystal clear. But here's the rub, right? This is where it gets tricky, I think.
Hmm.
If we're asking peers, colleagues, to hold each other accountable, how do we stop that from turning nasty?
Yeah.
You know, becoming like weaponized peer pressure, forcing conformity, or even, I don't know, bullying.
That's the absolute critical tension. You've nailed it.
So that leads us to the foundation needed, psychologically speaking.
It does. And the research is really clear on this. Psychological safety is the bedrock. It's non-negotiable.
Define that for us again in this context.
It's the shared belief within a team that it's safe to take interpersonal risks. Simple as that.
Like speaking up?
Speaking up, challenging assumptions, maybe questioning the way things are done, and crucially, admitting you made a mistake or you don't know something.
Without fear of being punished or humiliated.
Exactly. Without fear of retribution. When you have that safety, then people can engage in the kind of healthy, necessary conflict that drives performance.
Okay, so safety is essential, but the material we read also really hammered this point. Safety by itself isn't the answer.
No, definitely not. Safety without accountability, that just leads to comfort. Maybe a nice place to work, but
no progress. Mediocre.
Without progress, exactly. You get a group that's maybe agreeable, maybe happy, but they're probably not pushing boundaries or getting breakthrough results.
Right. And the flip side, accountability without safety.
Well, that's just fear, isn't it?
Yeah.
It breeds anxiety, burnout. You might get some short-term results through pressure, but it's totally unsustainable and unhealthy.
So the goal is this sweet spot, this alignment.
Precisely. And the material calls this combination peak performance, capital P-E-R.
Peak performance.
Yeah, it's presented as this, like, reinforcing structure built on three legs: trust, productivity, and accountability.
Okay, talk us through how those three work together. How do they build on each other?
It's like a positive feedback loop. So first, trust. Trust lets people be open.
Vulnerable, even.
Yes, vulnerable enough to say, hey, I'm struggling with this, or I think we might be going down the wrong path here, or I dropped the ball on that. That openness comes from trust.
Okay.
Second, productivity. When people see their colleagues consistently delivering, doing good work, following through, that builds credibility.
Competence. Reliability.
Right. It reinforces the trust. You trust their competence and their commitment because you see the results.
Makes sense.
And then third, accountability. This is what ensures that all those commitments people make, they actually matter. It shows that the team takes its collective goals seriously.
So trust enables openness, productivity builds the credibility, and accountability makes sure it all counts.
Exactly. And when you have all three firing together, the research suggests P2P accountability stops being this, like, forced discipline you have to impose.
That happens.
It becomes the natural, organic way the team operates. It's just how things get done.
Okay, so if the aim is organic P2P accountability, then the CEO's role, it has to change quite dramatically, right?
Absolutely.
They can't just issue a memo saying, hold each other accountable now.
Definitely not. That would likely backfire spectacularly.
So their role shifts from being the primary enforcer.
To being the chief architect.
Architect of the environment. Okay, I like that.
They have to intentionally design and nurture the conditions where P2P accountability can actually flourish.
So what are the key commitments? What does the CEO, the leadership team, need to build into the architecture?
The material points to three core commitments. First one, and maybe the most important, leaders have to model vulnerability themselves.
Walk the talk.
Pretty much. P2P accountability is built on reciprocity. If leaders expect teams to be open and accountable, they have to demonstrate that they are also responsible to their teams and to the mission.
So less leader knows all and more.
Exactly. Make leadership human. Imagine a leader starting the week saying, okay, team, here are my three big deliverables for this week. Here's where I need your input or support.
And then actually following through and being open if they stumble.
Yes. That sends a powerful signal that accountability isn't just something pushed downwards. It applies to everyone at every level.
Okay, modeling vulnerability. Commitment one. What's two?
Commitment two is design for connection.
Connection.
Yeah. Think about it. Accountability, especially peer accountability, it's kind of fragile. It really thrives on relationships.
You mean it's hard to challenge someone you don't know or respect?
Exactly. Or someone you don't trust has your best interests at heart. Accountability works best when it happens within a network of solid relationships, not just within boxes on an org chart.
So leaders need to be intentional about creating opportunities for people to connect, build that trust.
Yes. Actively create spaces for real connection, for giving and receiving feedback laterally, for learning together.
The source mentioned specific things here, like peer development groups, PDGs.
Yes, PDGs are a great example. Small groups, meeting regularly, focused on mutual support, goal setting, progress tracking. Not reporting up, but supporting across.
Or making sure cross-functional project teams actually have time built in for reflection on how they work together, not just rushing to the next deliverable.
Precisely. That intentional design fosters that crucial feeling of, we're all in this together. It builds the relational foundation.
Makes sense. Vulnerability, connection. What's the third commitment?
The third one tackles a really common problem. Reward collective wins.
Ah, the teamwork paradox.
You got it. So many organizations talk constantly about teamwork and collaboration.
But then bonuses, promotions, recognition, it all goes to the individual star performers, the heroes.
Right. And that sends a deeply conflicting message. It undermines the whole idea of shared responsibility.
So if you genuinely want peer accountability to stick,
your reward and recognition systems have to reflect that. They need to seriously focus on shared outcomes, on team success, on collective achievements. If the team truly sinks or swims together, their incentives need to mirror that reality.
Okay, vulnerability, connection, collective rewards. That's the architectural plan. Now, let's talk payoff. When this actually works, when P2P accountability is humming, how does it feel different?
Well, the research suggests it fundamentally changes the nature of pressure.
Pressure usually sounds negative.
It can be. But here, it transforms it from feeling like a heavy, top-down burden.
Like my boss is watching me.
Yeah, that kind of anxiety. It shifts into more of a positive, internal, team-based motivator.
How so?
The internal narrative changes. It moves away from, oh man, I don't want to let my boss down, I might get in trouble.
Okay.
And becomes something more like, I really don't want to let my teammates down.
Because you value their trust and the shared goal.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I don't want to let them down because I respect them, I value their trust, and I'm committed to what we're trying to achieve together.
Yeah.
That's a very different kind of pressure. Much more about shared purpose.
I remember reading that anecdote in the source material about those CEO peer groups.
Yeah, the Vistage type groups.
Right, where these high-level executives challenge each other incredibly directly, like really calling out blind spots, holding each other's feet to the fire on commitments.
Brutal honesty sometimes.
But the observation was they weren't doing it out of like corporate backstabbing or competition.
No, it was out of care. Genuine care for that other person's success and well-being. They held each other accountable because they wanted the other person to succeed.
And that's the dynamic you want to see replicated down through the organization.
That's the ideal, yes.
Yeah.
A culture where peers feel comfortable, even obligated, to demand excellence from one another constructively because they genuinely believe in each other and the shared mission.
And this kind of environment, counterintuitively maybe, it actually boosts well-being.
It does seem counterintuitive, right? High accountability might sound stressful.
Yeah.
But when it's paired with that psychological safety we talked about, it actually strengthens well-being.
Yeah.
It creates a foundation for a much healthier workplace culture.
No.
Because people feel a sense of meaningful belonging. They know their work matters. Their contribution is valued. And critically, they trust that if they do stumble, if they make a mistake, their peers won't throw them under the bus. They'll actually support them.
So challenge and support distributed among peers.
Exactly. Compare that to those environments we've all seen, maybe worked in.
Yeah.
High pressure, but low safety, low real accountability.
It's just fear.
Yeah, fear, maybe blame culture, finger pointing. That's where burnout lives. Short-term results maybe, but long-term it's damaging to people and performance. This PDP model, done right, builds resilience.
Okay, so we're sold on the why and the what. Let's get really practical now. If you're a leader, maybe a CEO, maybe a team lead listening to this, how do you start building this? What are the first steps?
The source material laid out some really concrete, intentional actions. Four main ones seemed key.
Okay, let's hear them. Step one.
First, embed reflection into your team's regular routines.
Reflection, like meditating.
No, not necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
More like structured team reflection. After a project wraps up, or even after a significant meeting, take time, even just 10 minutes, to discuss not just what you accomplished.
But how you work together.
Exactly. How do we collaborate? What team norms helped us? What norms got in the way?
Mm.
Where did we hold each other accountable well? Where did we maybe avoid a tough conversation?
So you're normalizing looking at the team process itself.
Yes. Making it okay to scrutinize and talk about how the team functions, not just the output.
Okay, embed reflection, step two.
Second, normalize feedback, especially lateral feedback.
Peer-to-peer feedback.
Right. It needs to become a regular, normal, everyday habit, not some big, scary, formal event that happens twice a year in a performance review.
So encouraging people to give quick, constructive feedback and praise to their colleagues in the moment.
In the moment, or in regular team check-ins. Making it low stakes, frequent, and focused on behavior and impact, not personality.
Got it. Normalize feedback. Third,
really leverage those peer development groups or similar structures.
The PDGs we mentioned earlier.
Yeah. Set up formal or informal peer coaching circles, development groups, whatever you call them. The key is that people within these groups aren't just setting goals for their manager.
They're setting commitments to their peers in the group.
Exactly. And then they track progress together. They offer support. And yes, they hold each other accountable for following through on those peer commitments.
Yeah.
It builds that muscle.
Okay. Use PDGs or peer circles. What's the final action?
And fourth, leaders need to actively celebrate accountability stories.
So find examples and shine a light on them?
Yes. When you see a peer constructively challenge a flawed process and it leads to improvement, talk about it. When someone goes above and beyond to follow through on a difficult commitment they made to the team, recognize it publicly.
It reinforces the behavior you want to see more of, shows it's valued.
Precisely. You're spotlighting what P2P accountability looks like in action, making it tangible, and showing that it's not just tolerated, it's actively encouraged and rewarded.
Reflection, feedback, peer groups, celebrate stories. Seems doable. It really drives home that point about the CEO needing to be the architect, not the superhero.
Absolutely. If you zoom out for a final thought, the research really points to this. The organizations that thrive in the coming years, they won't necessarily be the ones with the fanciest AI or the cleverest five-year plan.
They'll be the ones with the healthiest cultures.
Defined by this kind of mutual accountability, where literally everyone feels a sense of ownership, not just for their own work, but for their colleagues' success and the team's overall performance too. That architect mindset and leadership is what enables that shift.
So when you manage to distribute accountability like that and root it in trust and safety, the whole organization just gets stronger.
Exponentially stronger.
Yeah.
More resilient when things go wrong, much more adaptable to change, and way more innovative because you're not relying on just a few brains at the top.
You unlock everyone's commitment, their collective intelligence.
That's the promise.
So a final thought then for you listening, maybe don't try to boil the ocean tomorrow, but think about your own work. Your own team meetings this week. Where could you carve out just 5 or 10 minutes? Not to talk about what you did, but how you did it together. How could you start embedding that small act of reflection and just begin nudging your team towards that culture of shared accountability?